Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. D. Richard Ferguson.
Every attribute of God is good, right? Including His anger. He is perfect in His love and perfect in His wrath. But if that's the case, why does the Bible say that God is slow to anger? Why be slow to exhibit something that is good? We're studying James 1:19 and 20, which say, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires." In verse 20, he informs us that the natural course of human anger doesn't increase your righteousness. It doesn't give you godly reactions. Which is why Scripture so often speaks of anger as a bad thing that we just need to throw off. And it doesn't even specify, well, selfish, sinful anger. It just says anger because 99% of the time, that's what it is. You say, well, didn't Jesus get angry? Yes. Yes, yes. There's one place in the Bible that says that actually says he was angry. One. Not 100. Not 20. One. And maybe on a couple other occasions. But when he got angry, when Jesus got angry, what happened? Did he sin? No. Did he become irritable? No. Did he get into a bad mood for a couple of hours? No. Did he say some things that later he regretted? No. Did he lose control? Do you ever see Jesus lose control? No. None of those things happen. Our anger is usually not like that. And even when it is, think about this. Even your righteous anger, we need to be slow to that. You know why? Because God is. Think about it. God, His anger is perfect. Perfect. It's like any other attribute. It's absolutely good and perfect. And yet, even God is slow to anger. In fact, do you know what the most quoted verse in the whole Bible is? Of all the verses in the Bible that are in there, the one that's quoted more by other Bible writers in other places of Scripture, you know what it is? It's Exodus 34:6, where God is describing His nature to Moses, and He says, He passed in front of Moses saying, the Lord, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love and faithfulness. That's God describing Himself, and that's so fundamental about what God is like that gets quoted more often in Scripture than anything else. This is what God's like, slow to anger. Raise your hand if you are glad that God is slow to anger with you. Oh. So if you're convinced that your anger is righteous anger, and it's justified, and it's good, even then, if you're going to be like God, you're going to be slow to anger. And so it's you can tell as you read James, it's heavy on his heart. He wants to deal with this problem. Because anger causes so many problems. It destroys marriages. It destroys your intimacy with God. It makes your prayers and your Bible reading dry and boring and ineffective. It ruins churches. It ruins friendships. It disrupts the functioning of the church, of the body of Christ. It causes ministries to die out that could have been fruitful. It's such a massive, massive problem and so incredibly hard to deal with. It's hard to correct. James writes this whole book to correct it because the thing about angry people is they tend to be the least aware of their problem. Of all the different kinds of sinners, people who struggle with anger tend to be the least aware. They get angry, you know, they're getting angry like multiple times a week or a day. And yet, they come to prayer group and their prayer request isn't about their anger problem. It's about something else. They're not reading books about anger. They're not doing Bible studies. They're not asking for accountability on anger. They're not getting biblical counseling for their anger. They don't see it as a big problem. Maybe after a really bad outburst, they feel bad, you know, and stuff, and they want to try to change. But so often, people with an anger problem, they don't have the same kind of desperation to change as you find with people like, for example, that are enslaved to alcohol or pornography or even overeating. They just don't seem to take it that seriously. And this is especially true for people who are the more reserved personality types who tend to express their anger not by outburst, but by withdrawal, quiet withdrawal. It just doesn't seem like a wickedness to them, a sin. It's the kind of people that instead of confronting, they just let it cook. And it doesn't feel like sin to them. It's especially hard to ever get those people to ever come to grips with the sinfulness of their anger. Because they rename it to call it something else, because it's not like that guy's anger or her anger, and so it's not really anger, and they call it something else, and then they dodge it. This is just such a common thing. I think that's why Paul wears out his thesaurus in Ephesians 4, coming up with synonyms for anger. Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Verse 31, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, every form of malice, whatever you want to call it, just get rid of it. He knows angry people sidestep exhortations about anger by renaming it. You know, it's like, I'm not angry, I'm just frustrated. You know, it's not angry, I'm not angry, I'm just hurt. You know, I'm just... Paul knows we're just experts at renaming our sin, so we don't have to admit it's real anger. And he says, look, whatever you call it, just get rid of it. Get rid of it. Is it a sin to be hurt? No, but... Oh, how easy it is to hide sinful anger behind hurt. Isn't it? People who aren't angry generally don't have to go around trying to convince everybody that they're not angry. If you, just a rule of thumb, if you find yourself saying the words, I'm not angry, a lot, typically, if you're not angry, you don't have to go around saying that all the time. I've heard people say, I'm not angry, and then they slam the door just to prove they're not angry. I think maybe one reason why people are so slow to admit the problem is because anger, it's hard for them to take it seriously as a sin because it's just a feeling. Right? It's just an emotion. And our culture has made us think that feelings are things. They just sort of happen to you. You're not responsible for those. They just happen to you. And then you need to respond the right way to them. But real sins are things you do with your body, with your hands, physically do. Those are real sins. And then stuff that goes on, feelings that you have on the inside, those are just kind of like virtual sins. Nothing could be farther from the truth. All sin, Scripture is clear, all sin takes place in the heart. When you commit a sin with your body, with your hands, the thing that makes those actions so evil is the feelings you had inside you that caused you to do those actions. That's what made it sinful. We need to put away selfish anger, and that's never going to happen until we become honest with ourselves and just call a spade a spade. When we see anger in our hearts, just acknowledge the sinfulness of it. Stop blaming other people. Stop blaming circumstances. Stop blaming trials and suffering. And just confess the sin fully, openly to God. Confess it and repent of it so that you can receive His forgiveness and be changed by His grace.
I have 2 points of application for you today. The first one has to do with that point about the nature of sin. We tend to think of sin mainly in terms of actions, but all sin is committed in the heart. And those sins are sinful whether the body acts on them or not. So ask yourself, do you take responsibility for your feelings? Feelings are not just things that innocently happen to you. The reason we are culpable for the way we feel is that emotions are the product of values and beliefs. The reason one person hears a news headline and it causes feelings of anger or fear, and another person hears that same headline and it makes him happy, is because they have different values and beliefs. If you have a problem with anger, examine which values and beliefs need to be changed. And in Monday's episode, we'll look into how to make those changes. The second application is about God. Scripture tells us so often that God is slow to anger. Why do you think that is? What is it in God's character that makes Him slow to anger? Spend some time meditating on that, and let that vision of God change your heart to be more like His.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of James. 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. And if you like listening on your phone, download our free Food for Your Soul mobile app. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.